Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, you know the drill. St. Paul says to think about these good things, and it follows that we should talk about them too, don't you think? That is what we do on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times, giving us one more reason to wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. And if you can hear me, then you know Jimmy G is in the studio, my steady engineer and chief fact checker slash producer. There's just no end to the names we could give you.
They keep giving me new titles. Yeah.
Yeah. You're our radio program manager here at OC Catholic Radio.
Chief window washer, you know, all of them.
That's the low paying jobs down there. That's right. But listen, Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the sprawling, sparkling Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California, where there's always something happening of a cultural and spiritual nature.
That's right.
This week we had a diocesan-wide mass for the unborn, a beautiful, beautiful celebration of life in solidarity with our brothers and sisters who attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Quite
mm-hmm.
an impressive showing
exactly.
Of fellowship and combined efforts to preserve life, defend life, speak out for life. So much joy, too. This is what I loved. It was quite a contrast to the Women's March the weekend before, which had so much anger and sort of quite a bit of vulgarity, actually. There were so many young faces with great signs. We so appreciate Vice President Pence coming and speaking to the crowds. First time a vice president has attended and spoken at a March for Life.
Mm.
And interesting, he's not a Catholic vice president, which we have had in recent years, but he chose to come out and speak and rouse the crowds with his devotion to the same values, to affirm life. And then also Kellyanne Conway was a very impressive presence. So lots of important speakers, and I hope I got a lot of coverage this weekend.
Impressive crowd.
You know, I noticed there were some really cute signs, too. Very good, positive. Sometimes the pro-life movement can go into sort of this ugly dimension of depictions that turns people off. But this, the signs that were dominant were the happy, joyful, affirming signs. And there was one series of signs that I thought were very cute where they were kind of drawing on the Dr. Seuss Horton Hears a Who's expression of a person is a person no matter how small.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if the Seuss Foundation was endorsing the message, applying it to the pro-life movement, but nevertheless, it works. A person is a person no matter how small.
Mm.
Now, you know who could identify with the littleness of the unborn?
Mm, let me guess.
I'm going to tell you. Saint Therese of Lisieux.
That's right.
Yeah. She is a saint that we call the little flower. Her legacy really was her littleness, and that littleness was so large that she was deemed by St. John Paul II a doctor of the church, just a young woman of 24 years old, a cloistered nun. Remarkable story, and we're going to talk about Therese of Lisieux today because we have the great privilege of welcoming Audrey Ahern into our studio today. Audrey is the very gifted actress who portrays St. Therese of Lisieux on stage in St. Luke Productions' one-woman touring play called Therese, The Story of a Soul, which is also the name of this beloved saint's autobiography, a near Bible to many people.
Mm.
So that is coming up in a minute. And then later on in our Chatting with Catholics segment, I take my microphone to a classroom of third graders and ask them if they believe they could be a saint.
Mm.
You know, it was a harder question than I really wanted it to be. And some of those kids struggled with the answers, but they're always honest, aren't they, Jimmy G?
You better believe it's a really good segment.
Yeah, yep. So their answers might surprise you. But first, we're going to get to our Call Me Catholic Countdown of the Week, which, in honor of our guest today, is going to be my top five favorite dramatic portrayals of a saint in film or cinema or television, the big screen or the small screen. What do you think of that idea?
I'm always learning things from you, so I'm eager to hear this.
Well, you know, this topic was a little more challenging than I thought it was going to be. There really aren't as many good movies about the lives of our saints as there should be. You know, our saints actually, our saints and our martyrs are fabulous heroic figures from history, not exclusive to the Catholic faith. I mean, they are universally accepted heroic figures. And you can't make up the kind of stuff that composes their lives. So there really aren't as many movies as you'd think from that body of great work to draw from. But I guess I should say there aren't that many really good movies, you know, classic movies that feature them. So it was kind of a narrow playing field. But anyway, here we go. My top five favorite portrayals of saints in a movie or cinema.
Dun, dun. The Call Me yep. Catholic Countdown.
Thank you for that jazzy intro. Okay, here we go. Number five is going to be one we're going to get it off the list because it's going to be on everybody's list. Jennifer Jones as Saint Bernadette in The Song of Bernadette. Now, if you grew up Catholic, you saw this movie. It came out in 1943, so before a lot of our lives, but lived on in Catholic grammar schools, in Catholic homes. Turner Classic Movies plays it all the time, way beyond its original air dates. Jennifer Jones actually won an Academy Award for her depiction of Bernadette Soubirous, the young French peasant girl who encountered the Blessed Mother in Lourdes, France. Mm. Some might say it was kind of a sentimental or even sort of glamorous portrayal of this humble little saint who struggled with the local authorities and even with her parents to be believed. But Jennifer Jones really left the audience with a super enduring portrait of Bernadette. Probably was her most famous role. Okay, that's number five. Number four would be Raul Julia as Archbishop Oscar Romero in the movie Romero, and it came out in 1989. It's the story of the martyred Archbishop Oscar Romero of San Salvador. I think Archbishop Romero is still just a blessed in the process of becoming a saint, but he was martyred. Hmm. So that almost gives him an automatic in to that stuff. He was a very quiet, mild-mannered priest who organized peaceful protests against the violent military regime, eventually at the cost of his own life, and that happened, true story, as the lives of the saints are, and that happened in the late 1970s. But Raul Julia was a fantastic actor. God rest his soul. He passed away a number of years ago, but he did a beautiful job with this. He's a Puerto Rican himself, and so he brought a lot of authenticity to that portrayal. Okay, number three would be I bring this show up all the time. Michael York as St. John the Baptist in Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm.
You know, Jimmy G, you get tired of me talking about Jesus of Nazareth.
No,
which
I don't.
My favorite biblical drama.
Wasn't it like a 6-hour epic or something?
It was like a miniseries in the late 1970s,
right.
And it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And all the depictions. I mean, a second to that would be Mary Magdalene, played by Anne Bancroft.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael York was so vivid and so profound in his wild, crazed portrayal of John the Baptist that every time those readings come up on Sundays, the scripture, John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus and all, I just picture John the Baptist with his mangled hair and his sackcloth and locust eating diet and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so my number two person would be Olivia Hussey as Mother Teresa in the 2003 movie called Simply Mother Teresa. The movie wasn't that memorable, but her portrayal was so beautiful and exquisite. She was also, getting back to Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth, she played the Blessed Mother. Hmm. And she's one of those actresses that pulls you in. You know, some actresses have this exterior where they go out to you. She pulls you into her role. She was also Juliet.
I remember that, Romeo and Juliet.
But as Mother Teresa, she was beautiful. She aged, and she's an exquisite woman, but she aged into the little tiny figure that Mother Teresa was. And that's a difficult saint to portray because she was tiny and diminutive in stature. But she was mighty in her dedication and in her influence and in her force and in her sheer will to reach the poor of Calcutta and all around the world, actually. Okay, so that's number two. And my number one, a favorite portrayal of a saint in film, I think people are going to guess this one, Paul Scofield as St. Thomas More in A Man for All Seasons. He's another actor who won an Academy Award for his portrayal, his deeply moving portrayal of a saint, the 16th century Lord Chancellor of England. He refused to take an oath declaring King Henry VIII as the supreme head of the Church of England. And he, of course, Henry VIII, of course, wanted the church to annul his marriage to Catherine of Aragon so he could move on to yet another wife. And Thomas More stood as a pillar of integrity against such grave impropriety, and he lost his head over it. But Paul Scofield did a profound job of depicting St. Thomas More, Sir Thomas More, as they called him in the movie. And it's a classic. It came out in 1966. So if you've never seen A Man for All Seasons, please do check it out with your Netflix account.
Another great list there.
Now, maybe I've overlooked a few noteworthy candidates of saint roles in cinema. So please do leave us a comment of who you would like to see included in our list on our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. And speaking of dramatic portrayals, if you would like to actually watch Call Me Catholic live as it is happening,
you mean real acted
drama,
out live?
As it is happening at the moment, real depictions of real people. It's a reality show, I guess you could call. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic, and there will be a link. Our great call screener, Matt, Marvelous Matt, is putting up a link as we speak. You just click on that link and it'll take you to a page from our Archdiocesan webpage, and you'll be able to click it on and watch all
you
of the characters.
You can watch the show, yeah.
And just, if you don't want to do that, just check out our Facebook page. Give us a like. We always put podcast links up there, and we have pictures of all our beautiful guests, and sometimes we list our top five segments, things like that. So check it out. However you want to take in the show today, remember to stay with us. We've got Audrey Ahern up next to talk about her exceptional portrayal of St. Thérèse of Lisieux in the one-woman play called Thérèse, The Story of a Soul. It's playing at the Freed Theater right here on the Christ Cathedral campus this weekend. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and we are channeling our inner saint today on the show. We've got a guest who actually does that professionally, as a matter of fact. Audrey Ahern is the actress who brings to life in her one-woman touring show one of the most beloved saints of our time. Thérèse, The Story of a Soul, explores the life and writings of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the remarkable young Carmelite nun who died so young and yet left behind so much in her writings and in her life. Audrey Ahern becomes St. Thérèse for audiences across the country, and this weekend for audiences here in Orange County. Now, here is a little clip from her brilliant performance.
I feel it. Even though I had on my conscience all of the sins that can be committed, I would still go in confidence and love and throw myself in Jesus' arms. For I know how much he loves the prodigal child that returns to him.
Oh, beautiful. Now we have really, that was worth waiting for, Jimmy G. Audrey Ahern, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you so much for having me here.
That, your voice alone, but if our guests, our listeners could see you, your whole personage matches your beautiful
Well,
voice.
You.
Hey, I'm going to tell our listeners right up front, if you would like to call in and have a question for this young actress who portrays St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she knows everything about St. Thérèse. If you have a question or a comment for her, you can call in today at our show. The number is 714-282-6034. We'd love to have you join the conversation. That's 714-282-6034. So Audrey, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux is one of those revered saints who is so highly regarded for her simple writings that even writers, some of the most sophisticated religious writers of our time, are daunted by the idea of sitting down and trying to explore it. Now, how do you approach becoming her, acting her out? I mean, is that intimidating?
It is intimidating. To begin, I read The Story of a Soul. Actually, I had read it before. St. Thérèse is my confirmation saint. I have loved her for a very long time.
Very prophetic.
Right. I always tell kids when they come to the show and they're about to be confirmed, I ask them, who's your saint going to be? And they'll tell me, and I say, you have to be careful who you pick because you never know what they're going to ask you to do.
That's right. That's a bond that you have to answer to.
It is. So I had read The Story of a Soul. I read it again, actually, in preparation for my audition, and then read it once I got the role. I also read The Last Conversations, which a lot of people don't know about. I had actually never heard of it before either, but it's everything that she said on her deathbed, her sister wrote down. And it's
her sister Pauline.
Mostly Pauline and a few of her other sisters, mm-hmm. but mostly Pauline wrote it down. And it's absolutely beautiful, and I couldn't believe I'd never heard of it before. I mean, I'd loved St. Thérèse my whole life. So reading that was definitely helpful. And then just really trying to embody this role. I mean, it is challenging. It's not like other roles where, you know, you play the role in rehearsal or on stage and then you go home and you forget about it or you know, take a break because you can't. The challenge is to become more like her in your real life, too. So I guess I try not to think about how intimidating it is.
Yeah.
And I just try to think about how her words are so universal. And then everything that I say on stage can be applied to my own life or to anyone else's life.
Well, now in your one woman show, which is runs about an hour, correct? Mm-hmm. What do you cover in her life? Do you zero in on one aspect of her life, or do you pretty much cover her from childhood to her young death?
We cover her from childhood to her death. It's mostly linear, but there are a few flashbacks, and then it's interspersed with direct address to the audience, similar to like a Shakespeare soliloquy or something like mm-hmm. that. And that's how we're able to bring in some of her more theological ponderings, I guess, that wouldn't necessarily fit into a strict dramatic structure. But when we can bring those in, and it really, Patty DeFilippis, who wrote the play, really did a really good job of bringing those in at points that moves the story along and still allows for this sort of reflective character and makes it a devotional experience as well as a theatrical one.
Now, do you draw on her actual words for the body of the play, or do you create new words too? Or
every word in the play is hers.
Oh, every single word
yes.
is hers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's brilliant, but that's mm-hmm. also very challenging to compose
yes.
something like that. So it follows this, chronological line in her life.
Right.
Were there any really surprising discoveries you made in your research on St. Therese?
Gosh, I feel like there were a lot of surprising discoveries. I think with acting, you know, you bring in your own perspective, to a sense. So I guess for me, I didn't realize how much St. Therese struggled with her own sort of sense of unworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she developed The Little Way. And it wasn't just about, it is about doing little things with great love, like Mother Teresa talks about.
Right.
But it's also, I think, a way of overcoming her own sense of unworthiness. And I think that is something that we struggle with so much in the modern world, is that we're constantly bombarded with these messages of self-esteem mm-hmm. and you know, you are good enough, you're enough. And at the same time, we're bombarded with, you're not good enough, you know, mm-hmm. you need this to look good or that to look more well off or something. And so for her, this sense of, I'm not worthy to be called a child of God. I'm not worthy because I'm sinful or because I'm not perfect. And that through that wrestling with that sense of imperfection, that's how she was able to develop The Little Way. And that, no, you're not enough. You're never enough in yourself, mm-hmm. but you're always enough in Christ's love for you. And so in working to live out that love, that's how you do the little things with great love, because mm-hmm. you're not doing them yourself. You're doing them only through God, who strengthens you.
It's interesting listening to the clips that I heard, and I haven't been able to see it because I've been out of town, but I am going tonight. You are very expressive. And I wonder, what was Teresa's actual demeanor like when she related to people? Was she a very expressive young woman, or was she sort of a shy, modest woman in her exterior?
Right. I think she was probably shy to those she didn't know well. She talks about that actually in her autobiography, Story of a Soul, that she was very close to her family and she wasn't very comfortable with strangers. But with her family, she was extremely animated. She was always making her sisters laugh. They talked about how funny she was. Mm-hmm. She loved to put on plays actually in the convent. She'd write plays. She played Saint Joan of Arc in one of them. There's mm-hmm. a famous picture of her standing dressed as Saint Joan of Arc. And so I think with the play, the audience is almost an extension of her family. The audience becomes a part of this world, the world that she's comfortable in. And I think that when we get to heaven, hopefully, we're going to meet the Therese that her sisters saw. Mm-hmm. So I think the play is...
So you try to project a little bit of that. Because as an actress, you have to emote. You have right. to project to the audience, and yet you want to be authentic to the person that you're portraying, too.
Right.
So that's an interesting balance. How do you create that intimacy? Or do you look at them in the eye, in the audience in the eye? And
yes, yes. So... the audience becomes, in a sense, another character. Mm-hmm. So with any other play, you've got these other actors on stage, and that's sort of feeding you. With this play, the audience is the other character.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do. I look them in the eye. I want to elicit a response. I mean, so much of the play is about people understanding how much God loves them, and how can you do that if you don't look them in the eye and tell them that?
Yeah. Hey, we have the privilege today of talking with Audrey Ahern, who is the actress who portrays St. Therese of Lisieux in the one-woman show that tours the country. It happens to be in Orange County this weekend. And Audrey, we have a couple of questions. We have callers coming in right away. And Jenny from Washington has a question for you. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, Jenny.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Do you have a question for Audrey?
I do. Audrey, you said that you had liked Therese for a long time. What drew her to you? What made her, I guess, made you want to portray her? What made you like her so at a young age?
Yeah, to where she even took her confirmation name after Therese. Good question, Jenny.
Exactly. Like, well,
yes, I think it was largely what I was talking about earlier, that she wrestled with these feelings of insecurity. And I think as a teenager, that's something that we all struggle with. But that's always been something that I have difficulties with, is feelings of insecurity, anxiety, which she had. She's just a really great example of how you can overcome that. And I think she continued to wrestle with that her whole life. She had scruples as a young child. And then as an adult, even, she says in the last conversations, people think I haven't suffered very much, but I promise you there's not been a day when I haven't suffered. Mm-hmm. And granted, she was saying this on her deathbed when she was dying of tuberculosis.
So she was talking about emotional suffering?
But I believe so, mm-hmm. Yes. Because her physical suffering was only towards the very end, but she said that every day of her life she'd suffered. And I just thought, of all the saints that are going to help me overcome anxiety and scrupulosity and feelings of unworthiness, she's got to be it. So that's why I picked her, and I think that it's something probably a lot of young women, especially teenage girls, can relate to as well.
Jenny, do you have a devotion to Saint Therese?
I don't, but my niece does.
Well, she is a beautiful saint to introduce to young girls, because I think girls go through lots of insecurities, and, you know, boys do too, but they can relate to some of her simple thoughts and her sense of unworthiness. I think that's a very resonates with adolescents quite a bit. So it's a beautiful saint to share with young people. Thanks for calling in, Jenny.
No problem. Thank you.
You know, it brings to mind, Audrey, the fact that we really need to introduce our young people to saints, because they can become sort of companions through life. And maybe Saint Therese isn't the one for your child or your niece or nephew or your grandchild, but there is one out there, and they want to be our companions. And like you pointed out, once you open up your life to them, they will help you. They will guide you. They will be a model for you in so many different ways.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the other saints that Saint Luke Productions has chosen to portray in their shows?
Well, right now we have touring Saint Faustina, who was the visionary who saw Jesus and introduced us to the Divine Mercy devotion.
Sure.
We have St. John Vianney, who's the patron saint of parish priests. We have St. Maximian Kolbe, who was the priest who gave up his life in Auschwitz for mm-hmm. to save another man's life. And we're about to relaunch St. Francis with a new actor. We had been doing this play for a number of years with Leonardo DeFilippis playing the role. But now, after a long break, we're bringing it back with a new young actor in the role.
Well, you know, St. Francis is one of those actors. He's not an actor. He's a real person. He plays him. He is himself. But I have not seen a perfect portrayal of St. Francis yet in film. Do you have any favorite portrayals of some of the saints that I didn't include in my list?
Oh, goodness.
I think St. Francis is just so rich for opportunity to portray. And there's mm-hmm. there's a tendency to over-dramatize his love of nature. I mean, he was a gritty guy. And interestingly, I heard from Leonardo when he was here that he was a very, very short man, which I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very short man. But I'd love to see a really good cinematic portrayal of St. Francis. That mm-hmm. that would be my wish.
right.
So you don't have any favorite saint portrayals?
Well, I do. I love Man for All Seasons, which you named.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, St. Luke Productions did a movie of Therese based on the play. And I actually haven't watched it again since being cast in the role, because I don't want to like mess with my own head.
Good idea. Yeah.
But it was really influential on me as a high schooler, and was the only reason I knew about St. Luke Productions in the first place to even reach out to them when I wanted to work for them. So I owe that movie a lot.
Well, St. Luke Productions does a really good job of making these saints accessible. And here's the beauty of it, is that it's one thing to read about a saint or to read a saint's writings, mm-hmm. but it's another thing to see them and feel like you're watching them in their body, in three to third dimension or fifth, five dimensions around. That was a singing group, wasn't it? Jimmy G, help me out here. You're my fact checker.
Yeah, the fifth dimension. Yeah, 1960s. Yeah.
No, but I mean, when you actually see a live performance or see it up on the screen, mm-hmm. you realize this isn't some figment of someone's imagination.
Right.
This is real, and they're virtuous behavior is something for us to learn from. So who are some of the other saints you love?
Oh, goodness.
So I think St. Therese has a monopoly on Audrey, don't you think, Jimmy?
she's a favorite for sure. I also love, of course, our Blessed Mother.
Did Saint Therese have any other favorite saints that she looked to or she prayed to?
She loved Our Lady, of course. She loved Saint Teresa of Avila.
Mm-hmm.
She loved, well, all the Carmelite saints.
Yeah. Of which there were many. Well, if you would like to join our conversation, we have Donald and Michael on the line. We're going to get to them after our break. But we encourage you to call in and join our conversation. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to speak with the actress who portrays St. Thérèse of Lisieux in the one-woman show Thérèse, The Story of a Soul. It's playing at the Free Theater on Christ Cathedral campus this weekend, and there are still some tickets left for tonight and tomorrow's performance. You can go to stlukeproductions.com and follow the links to the Thérèse, The Story of a Soul, Story of a Soul show, and you can purchase tickets through that link. So stay with us. If you want to call us, 714-282-6034. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hi there, and welcome back to Call Me Catholic, where today we are exploring the mystery and mystique of St. Thérèse of Lisieux with the actress who plays the beloved saint in St. Luke Productions' one-woman touring show, Thérèse, The Story of a Soul. It is, in fact, playing right here at the Free Theater on the Christ Cathedral campus tonight and again tomorrow, and there are some tickets left, so you can go to stlukeproductions.com and follow the link to the Thérèse, The Story of a Soul page, and you can purchase tickets.
And I can imagine if listeners would like to have the show come to where they are, that there's a way that they can do that, too.
Yeah. You know, in fact, we have a caller here who is from Louisiana. Michael, welcome to Call Me Catholic. You were curious from the notes here to know if the show will be coming anywhere near you soon.
That is correct. And hello, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and we have a large missionary group of St. Thérèse actually here, over 300 missionary members. And we would love to see the show performed by Miss Audrey. If she's going to be anywhere nearby, we sure would appreciate it.
What a lovely fit that would be, Audrey.
Right. Yes, Michael, we'd love to come to New Orleans. This is actually where you can help St. Luke Productions. So we travel all over the country, but we obviously need people who are willing to help bring the show there. So if you and your group are interested, or anybody who's listening is interested in bringing either Therese or one of our other shows to their area, you can go to stlukeproductions.com. It's stlukeproductions.com. And then you can click on the information, the contact or the sponsor a show link, and that'll tell you how you can get in touch with us and work on bringing our show out to your area. So that way we can come all over the country. We'd love to be in the New Orleans area.
You know, and Michael, you bring up a good point. She is the patron saint of missionaries, isn't she? Because she is. Even though she never left her little convent, she prayed for souls, and she had wanted in her heart to be a missionary, didn't she?
She
Audrey?
Wanted very much to be a missionary. Mm-hmm.
So what does your ministry do there, Michael?
Well, actually, our main purpose is to pray, devotion to St. Thérèse, but we also raise funds and we support missions throughout the world, both locally and internationally. And we've been a group since 1945, a little bit before my time, but it's a wonderful organization. And we also have a statue of St. Thérèse in repose and a sarcophagus, which is an actual replica of the one that is in the Basilica, and that's located here in Kenner, Louisiana, at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Church. So if anybody's nearby, please stop by and say a prayer to St. Thérèse. One last question, if I may. How long will you be touring with this production of St. Thérèse?
At least through December of this year, and possibly beyond that.
Thank you, Audrey.
You're welcome.
Well,
Michael,
thanks for calling, and God bless you and your ministry. That's a beautiful way to perpetuate the legacy of this beloved saint.
She's my favorite saint, and probably the favorite saint of many other people, I'm sure.
Well,
thank you.
St. Thérèse, pray for us and pray for Michael and his ministry there in New Orleans. Bye-bye, Michael. That's wonderful that you're getting so much interest, because here's the thing. St. Thérèse of Lisieux is, I hate to use the word iconic, but she is in modern times looked upon as just being the anchor saint for a lot of people who rediscovered their faith through her, who converted to Catholicism through her. What is it about her words that had such a lasting, enduring impact on people's spiritual lives?
I think it's because once you can get past the sort of Victorian floweriness of the story of a soul.
The Holy Card version.
Right. Once you really get into the meat of her autobiography, which is about the middle, it becomes extremely accessible in a very profound way. Extremely accessible and also extremely inspirational in that she gives us a way that we can all become saints. Mm-hmm. I was actually, we performed for some kids on Thursday and I told them, you know, she's not a saint because she's a nun. Although, great, if you have a vocation to the religious life, like, go for it. But she's not a saint because she's a nun. She's a saint because she loves so much and because she did that in everything she did. Mm-hmm. And that she gives us a way that in our modern world, where we're so busy and we're so caught up with this and that, that we can become a saint through the busyness and mm-hmm. through all these things that are thrown at us. Mm-hmm. It's the way that we take those little things and we offer them to God.
Yeah.
It's the way that we meet those people in our lives and we smile at them. I mean, it really is as simple as that.
Yeah.
There's a depth to it, which is why she's a doctor of the church. But ultimately, it's the simplicity of Christianity that makes her a saint mm-hmm. and that makes her accessible and so popular.
Yeah, because, you know, very important men in business, simple young girls, it ranges, the spectrum is wide. I know a lot of priests who use her writings as huge consolation. So I can imagine that you are getting demands all the time for this show to come to people's cities. Hey, Donald from Maine, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hello. Thank you, Peggy. Hello, Audrey.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. Do you have a question for our beautiful actress here?
Yes. Wasn't that show recently aired on EWTN about a month ago?
You know what? That's a really good question. Is there another version that might have aired? Because you said yours has not been filmed.
We have a movie of Therese that was based on the play. I don't know about the EWTN television schedule, but if you saw a version of Therese on EWTN, that was likely our movie. Not the play.
Okay. Oh, I was wondering, were you the actress that did it?
No, that was made about 15 years ago, so I was still in high school.
She was just taking her confirmation name at that point.
I was.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good movie, though. I'd just like to ask you, why did she choose the Carmelite order? And I know it's like one of the oldest orders because I'm in Maine and I'm about 160 miles away from the oldest Carmelite order in North America, right up in Quebec City.
Is that right? Yes.
I was wondering why she... that was like in the 1600s when they started that one.
Right.
Why did she choose the Carmelites?
Right.
Great question, Donald.
I think there's a couple reasons. One was that it was what she was exposed to. There was a Carmelite order in the town she grew up in. Her older sisters were Carmelites. So it was, you know, when she had a vocation to the religious life from a very young age. And then when she was able to solidify that really as an older child, it was the Carmelites that really, for her, were the cornerstone of her knowledge of the religious life. I think the other thing, too, is that she had a natural vocation. She had a vocation to the contemplative life. So she was exposed to other orders. She went to a school that was run by nuns, but they were not contemplative. They were active. And she was very much drawn to the contemplative life. She wanted to spend her time in prayer and contemplation. And so that for her, that was the best way and the way that God was calling her to do that.
Well, she wanted to follow her sisters, too, didn't she?
She did want to follow her sisters in a way, but that wasn't, she makes it very clear in her autobiography that was not why she mm-hmm. entered the convent, that she, although it was certainly a joy for her to do that, that was, her vocation was to the Carmelites.
They just happened to get there before her.
They did.
Great question, Donald. Have you visited that monastery, the Carmelite monastery up in Quebec City?
Yes, I've been there a couple of times, but what I really like is I have a picture of Saint Therese when she was portraying Joan of Arc in that play.
Oh, you do?
When she passed out, what I like, because I study a lot of French history, she had la drapeau blanc avec la gold fleur de lys.
Mon Dieu.
The white flag with the fleur de lys that Joan of Arc carried in battle.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Even during the movie, they had that when she was portraying that, and then she passed out. But my wife and I were tearing up at the end of the movie when she was passing away.
Oh, that's very touching. Just another testimony of how Therese works her way into people's lives. Donald, thanks for calling. Are you cold up there in Maine right now?
Yeah, I'm looking outside the window at about a foot and a half of snow,
and it's
about 25 and windy.
Well, take care of yourself. Stay warm, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Audrey, for your work. Yes, thank you. Very good. Bye.
Bye, Donald. So hearing these testimonies of how much St. Therese means to so many people, I'm going to ask you kind of a daring question. Have you ever been confronted by someone from the audience who says, this is not how I imagine my favorite saint to look, be, sound, anything like that?
Thankfully, no. Okay, maybe people are just being polite. but no, I haven't had anyone say that. I think for us, what is really working in our favor is that, again, every word in the play is her own words.
It's authentic,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how she sounded.
Speaks
but,
well for you.
But,
that
you know, I've got
well
her own words coming out of my mouth, so that's going well. We did have a little kid yesterday who said, you know, St. Therese's mom was 4 when her mom died, yeah. Not 5. And I was like, you're right.
We're 4 or 5.
She was almost 5, so we changed it to 5 in the play because, you know.
The records are a little blurry.
she was so close to 5, but you're right. She was actually 4.
Hey, how nice to know he was listening, right?
Yes. She was a little girl. She was like, excuse me. You're right. Okay. Good job.
Do you have an answer and question period after the show?
We can, not normally, but sometimes for schools we'll do. And then I always greet the audience afterwards. So if they have questions, they're always welcome to ask.
Well, you know, the reason I asked that initial question is because when I read a book and I love that book and I'm really into the book and have visualized the characters and the dialogue, and then I go to see a movie version of the book, it often really disappoints me because I have this internal vision and perfect portrait of who I want those characters to look like and be. And if the film screen doesn't measure up to my image, it's sometimes hard to align those. Mm-hmm. But you haven't had anybody disappoint in you. That's pretty awesome. Audrey, are you ready for one more question?
Absolutely.
We have a Therese. I was hoping a Therese or a Therese would call in. We have Therese from Ohio. Is this Therese or Therese?
Hi, it's Therese. And I was just calling to say I was happy to hear that this lovely young woman is portraying this saint who is very dear to me on lots of levels. My niece just took her name as a confirmation name. And I'm also an avid gardener. So my question was, have you ever prayed and asked for her intercession and received a sign of a rose? And also, did you know that, I don't know how long it's been, but I found a site, it's in France, and you can actually, and they're taking cuttings of a rose shrub that grew near or at her house where she grew up and selling it throughout the world. And I thought, how neat is that? I tried to buy it, but apparently they're not shipping to the U.S. yet. So anyways, I was just wondering if you had ever gotten a sign from her at all, from, you know, your ministry and from your prayer and on discovering her life, her little way, which is, you know, a grand old way.
Well, Therese, beautiful question. I love you bringing in the roses and the flowers, but I have to say that the first sign you must have gotten from her was getting cast into the role.
Wouldn't you think? Right. God doesn't tend to speak to me in these dramatic ways. He knows I'm too dumb. So he's like, wait, here's an opportunity.
Oh, no.
If you don't take it, you're just dumb.
Explain to some of our listeners though, what Therese has brought up about the relevance of flowers and roses in particular.
Right. So St. Therese promised on her deathbed that she would send a shower of roses to those on earth. And so she's known for answering prayers, especially the Rose Novena. When you pray to her for 9 days and you ask her for a rose as a sign, she's known to send roses in these stunningly dramatic ways.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard some incredible stories, like true stories that people I've met on tour have told me. I mean, they knock your socks off. They're so amazing.
Therese, did you ever receive such a sign?
I have not. And I have to say that I never really asked for it either, but I thought that if it happened, it was meant to be. So, but I also wanted to make the comment that I think it's incredible that this young woman who was scarcely known outside her circle of family and relatives and who died at the age of 24 in a cloister in a little town in France is, you know, known throughout the world. It's just amazing about her writing and the powerful message.
You know, Therese, I think about that kind of stuff too. I think it's so amazing how God lifts up these modest, humble people for the world to know. I think Mother Teresa is another example of it. And I think it's people that perfectly turn their life over to the will of God. And if you do that, it's not that easy. They make it look easier than it is. I think we become famous for that. I mean, I think God lifts us up as a model of the life well lived, the life that is in alignment with His will for us. I think that's how the saints became well known. I mean, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Audrey?
I mean, I think you're right. I think it is the beauty of a life well lived is going to make you known. People are drawn to that. People are drawn to joy and to holiness.
But just her simple writings, too. Wasn't it her sister, Pauline, who told her, now sit down and write down these thoughts, probably never expecting that they would become in every Catholic library, the most sought after book, in every Catholic home, the most noted book in the margins, the most referenced book. Who would have guessed that?
Right. And they were surprised at how fast it spread. I mean, they sent it to a few other Carmelite convents in the immediate area, and people were just, they were passionate about it. They said, let's spread this as fast as we can. And it was remarkable because she died in 1897 and then was canonized in 1924.
Yeah. And then John Paul II made her a doctor of the church shortly thereafter.
Right.
So it's beautiful. I'm really glad you called in, Teresa, and I'm glad you brought up the symbolism or the relevance of roses and flowers in her life.
Thank you.
And I hope you happy gardening.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. I don't know how much you can do, how much gardening you can do in Ohio this time of year, but what is your favorite part? It's a 1-hour show. What's your favorite moment in the show, Audrey?
It can kind of depend on the night and where I am with my relationship with God in any given moment. But generally, my favorite moment in the play is actually when she discovers her vocation, not to the religious life, but her deeper vocation to love, and she consecrates herself to divine mercy. And there's a moment when she's really discovering that through her reading of the first letter to the Corinthians.
Yeah.
And it's at that moment that she really finds this ultimate peace in God. That's usually my favorite part of the play. But again, it can vary depending
on. You can
on
surprise
the
yourself sometimes.
Sometimes I'll be like, wow, that was amazing.
Well, Audrey Ahern, we're going to listen to one more little bit from the show. We're going to close this segment with that to leave our viewers with just another taste of your beautiful performance. But we want to thank you for bringing your charm and your talent and your spiritual depth to the role of St. Therese, such an important and such a moving saint for everybody, for most people, for most Catholics, and especially young Catholics. Who, every classroom has that little statue of St. Therese holding the flowers. So beautiful. Yes. She's such an important figure in our church. And you do her honor with your dramatization of her life. Now, if you live in the greater Southern California area, you can still catch Audrey's performance of Therese, The Story of a Soul. But you have to get to this site fast so you can grab tickets before they're all sold out. It's stlukeproductions.com. Click on this show, The Therese Show, and it will direct you to the tickets for tonight or tomorrow's performance. And you'll find out what else St. Luke Productions is bringing to the stage. God bless you, Audrey. And can we say break a leg tonight?
You absolutely can.
I hope that's still acceptable. Hey, we'll be right back with Chatting with Catholics, Little Catholics, in fact. And we're going in honor of our little flower that we're talking about today. We're going to be talking with some third graders about whether or not they'd like to become a saint. And right now we're going to leave you with Audrey's lines from Therese, The Story of a Soul.
You'll see. I will send down a shower of roses.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Hey there. How are you, kids? I am Peggy Normanton, and we're in a saintly mood today on Call Me Catholic because we have been talking about St. Therese, The Story of a Soul, which is the play that's right here at Christ Cathedral this weekend with the beautiful actress Audrey Ahern. Really loved our conversation with her, and thanks to our listeners for calling in. I gotta do a little side note, though. I noticed in the announcements that Raymond Arroyo is interviewing Brett Baer this week, Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. I love Brett Baer. He's a reporter. He's a news anchor.
Yeah.
He's kind of, he's very cool.
I believe he's Catholic, too, so kind of helps.
Can we call him Catholic?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to business. That is EWTN business. We've got so much great programming. We always like to call out a few special ones that are coming up for you guys. So that's Raymond Arroyo interviewing Brett Baer next Thursday night. Just a personal favorite for me. Now, in our Chatting with Catholics segment today, I take you far away from Orange County. I take you up to Portland, Oregon, where I was visiting my son this last week. And I dropped in on Holy Redeemer School in North Portland, where I was invited in by the third graders to chat with them. And because we were doing a show on saints today, I thought I'd ask them if they thought they could grow up to be a saint, if they thought they could be a saint. And it might have been kind of a heavy question, but I think they handled it very honestly and very beautifully. So here's what they had to say.
Call Me Catholic. We're chatting with Catholics.
I am walking up the steps to Holy Redeemer Catholic Elementary School. It's a 108-year-old Catholic grammar school in North Portland, Oregon. And the third grade class has invited me to come in and ask these young Catholic students if they think they'd like to become a saint. Let's hear what the third graders have to say.
I think I'd want to be a saint, but I would also like to be a veterinarian since I love animals. And I think that I would help the hurt animals if I were a saint.
Have you heard of St. Francis of Assisi?
Mm-hmm.
He loved the animals, too. You know, he tamed wild wolves. He talked to the birds. The birds talked to him.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to be a saint, but I kind of want to be an artist, maybe.
You don't think you can be a saint and an artist?
I could, but...
You look like you could be a very talented artist, but you also look like you've got a little saint in you. I see it.
Thank you. I think I could be a saint.
What are the special qualities that you think saints have that make them saints?
Being kind, helping people in need. I think I want to be a saint, but I also want to be an artist. And I also know that Jesus will also guide me, so I could always do other things.
That's absolutely right. You're well on your way.
I would like to be a saint, and I know that you have to perform a miracle after death.
What miracle would you like to see done in your name when you become a saint?
Maybe making there be less pollution.
Okay. You'll be the patron saint of our environment then.
I could be a saint, but I kind of want to be a lawyer when I grow up.
Well, you know, there was a great saint lawyer. His name was St. Thomas More, and he was a lawyer to King Henry VIII. So maybe you should start praying to St. Thomas More for some guidance on that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really sure because I think it might be hard to become one.
But isn't it hard to be good at anything?
Yeah, but also it's going to be hard because I have a sister and we fight a lot.
Oh, okay. I know a few saints who fought with their sisters. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, because she is my sibling and...
And she does get on your nerves sometimes.
Because you can't stop that.
How well I know. I got three sisters of my own.
I don't think I could really be a saint, but because I also want to be a Lego designer, a math teacher, or a technic, like an engineer.
I don't think that would conflict with being a saint. What do you think it takes to be a saint? Do you think that takes a lot of work, or is it just the way you behave with the work you're doing?
Yeah.
I think I could be a saint, but I'm not sure what miracles I would work if I were a saint.
Are there any saints that you love right now that you pray to?
Saint Teresa.
Saint Teresa, the little flower.
Mm-hmm.
She just loved Jesus with all her heart. That's why she was a saint.
Is Pope Francis a saint?
No, you can't be a saint when you're living. You're only considered to be a saint after you die. And then we know, because Pope Francis has a lot of living left to do, I think.
But Pope Francis kind of seems like a saint.
Well, popes usually do. He is very likely to be one.
If Pope Francis was to be a saint, wouldn't he already be a saint in the living because he believes if Jesus and all the other saints, he does the same as them?
Well, we're all saints in the making, but it's only at the point of death where you can look at our whole life to see if it was a testimony of our relationship with Jesus. But good question.
I could be a saint, but... I guess I could also be like a follower of God and like believe in him, but maybe not a saint.
Does it seem kind of scary to think about becoming a saint? Does it seem like it's just too much?
Well, I don't know.
It's a lot to think about right now. You know what? The thing about the saints were they didn't worry about it. Every morning they woke up and they said, what can I do for you today? And how can I live my life out without hurting Jesus? I can be anything I want to be, but I have to just continue to love Jesus. Okay.
I think I could be a saint, but I actually want to be a soccer player when I grow up.
Perfectly compatible with being a saint. You just can't cheat.
Okay.
So I see a picture of a saint here in your classroom that's up on your against the board. What is this saint's name?
St. Andre Bessed.
And why do you have him in your classroom here?
I think he's like kind of holy to our church and community.
Well, all the saints are, yeah.
I want to be a saint, and I also want to be an actor.
Our good Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, it was probably before your lifetime, but he loved to act. He thought you could really teach people a lot of things about God and about truth through acting and through plays.
Okay.
Okay. That last entry was in honor of our guest today, Audrey Ahern, and her portrayal of St. Teresa of Lisieux, an actress who certainly lives her faith very compatibly in her pursuit of being a saint. Many thanks to Miss Kersey and the third graders at Holy Redeemer School in North Portland. And I also want to sent out apologies to my three sisters. I don't really argue with my sisters. I might have when I was younger, but we get along very, very well today. I just had to throw that in so he didn't feel bad about arguing.
They're
going to
be blowing up your phone with texts saying, what did you say about me?
No, they know. We love each other. But I had to make him feel good about arguing. You know, he's fighting with his sister. He could still be a saint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what confession's all about. Hey, so go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic, and leave a comment if you'd like, or like us if you do, or just stay in touch with us. We love your comments. We love your suggestions. Or you can send us an email to callmecatholic@ewtn.com. Hey, next week, speaking of sisters, next week, my sister Joni is in town, so she's going to co-host with me. We're going to have some dueling Call Me Catholic countdowns. Always love having Joni from Atlanta on the show with us. And we're also going to have some guests from the Culture Project, which is a really great pro-life movement that hits college campuses across the country with a great pro-life message. And then we're going to be speaking with some kids from the University of Portland, another interview I did while I was up there.
Excellent.
I got a lot done up there.
So it was more than just kind of relaxing R&R.
It was fun. I got to visit with my son, help him with his new house. Hey, but I never asked you, Jimmy, do you think you could be a saint?
You better believe it. Yeah, it's something I'm working on every day.
I love that, kids. No hesitation whatsoever. Well, you're an inspiration to me.
I'm a chief fact checker.
Hey, mostly we want you to tune in next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.